I'm just joking. I was just joking.
I pushed record.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
No, I don't see. Okay. Anyway.
This has it started.
After our conversation and after what we dealt with on last week, I'm really interested in what your meditations have been going forward, because I believe that there was a shift in the spirit. There was a shift in the spirit in terms of what God wanted to say to us. And so I want to know if what did you meditatively get from that we talked about? And I can reiterate some of the things, but one of the main things that came across was when we're going through and when we're struggling with different things, why are we struggling when we're giving our tithes, we're doing our offerings, we're doing all the things that we think we're supposed to do? So why are we having still challenges? And that challenge may not be you personally. It could be in your bloodline. It could be your daughter, your son, whatever the case may be. Okay. Because I personally have, one in my own bloodline that I got to really work on and pay attention to. So I'm just saying, what did you get out of that we can meditate on that and say, okay, let's think about this as more of a workshop today, because we don't need to just speak about things and then it doesn't show manifestation. We looking for demonstration of his power. We're looking for manifestation. We're not just trying to stroke ourselves and say, oh, that was a good message, child. You preach that word. No, that doesn't help anybody. Okay. If you that's the thing about when people think, well, I gave an offering and that money came back to me. Well, that's not the point of an offering, is it? Because we need to live in the flow. Not just a offering. We need to learn how to live in a flow. And that's why seed sowing is important, because seed sowing keeps it flowing. Somebody write that down so you don't forget. Make a t-shirt. Seed sowing keeps it flowing. Not the offering, but seed sowing keeps it flowing. It was the weirdest thing in the world for God to say, teach them to start with a penny. That was crazy. Okay? That was crazy, but God. Amen?
Amen.
And right now, we as a family are sowing because we need a fence. We need a new fence, right? And so we started sowing for this fence. And so when we were sitting at the table for prayer, I told him I had got unexpected income. So the unexpected income, I'm like, okay, I got unexpected income. That unexpected income is, I wasn't expecting it to come. That's unexpected. So what do I do with unexpected income? Well, I knew what to do. And so we talked about it at the table. And I said, well, I'm going to take this whole amount and sew it back in because the fence is not here. Mm-hmm. So if the fence or the resources for the fence are not, we don't see them, then we need to keep sowing until we see those resources for the fence. Okay. And so that was kind of what we did in that particular case. One of the things I saw in what we talked about this morning in the offering was that we have to be consistently talking about these things. It doesn't have to be the course of your life, because when I was coming up, Jesus was everything.
Right.
Jesus gonna work it out. Jesus gonna fix it. Jesus. Okay. Or your faith gonna make you whole. You're healed. You gonna be healed in Jesus' name. So it wasn't about, oh, okay, if you give, this is what's gonna happen. It was, if you give, you be blessed. If you give, you be blessed. Yeah, I understand that, but we're in a different dispensation of his understanding. We have to recognize that we are in a different place of him. Okay? It doesn't take away from what we learn, because that's the foundation that you're walking on. And never forget, you're walking on
that's
that foundation.
Right.
You're walking on it.
That's
because
right.
Because we know nothing. Okay? And so Jesus is not going to bust in on you and say, okay, let me just give you revelation of the kingdom today on your first day. He ain't doing that. We have to walk on. We have to. It's respect. You have to respect the generation before you by walking on your wisdom. It's not about, well, they didn't know what they talking about. Or you old school. You don't know what you're talking about. You have to walk on the wisdom.
Yes.
You have to respect that. And when you respect it, you that's how you respect his wisdom that he gave. Because at that moment, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't know nothing today. You wouldn't. Somebody could be talking and they could be caught themselves preaching the word. And I sit right there and say, that is not in the Bible. And I ain't got to open the book to know.
Amen.
I don't know what they're talking about. You know, I just try to keep a straight face, but that ain't in the word.
Right.
That's a song. Them is song lyrics, you know. So let's keep that in mind that, you know, don't not respect that, you know, because God wants us to honor and respect those things. And that was one of the downfalls of that natural Israel, was they did not respect the word. I believe Shane and they talked about it on yesterday, last night, was how Moses was getting ready to transition. And even in the midst of the transition, God was like, they gonna go horn after other gods. You know, it's like, God said to Moses, yeah, that all that's wonderful, but as soon as you blink your eye, they gonna go, you know, in the opposite direction. They gonna go whoring after other gods. You know, God laid it out.
Right.
Why? Because he see the end from the beginning.
And then, right.
So he already knows. But that don't mean that he don't say what the word is. That doesn't mean he don't speak it. Just because he know the end from the beginning, he know you gonna sin. He know you gonna fall off the wagon. He knows all these different things. But what does he do? He gives us advocacy.
Right.
Through Christ Jesus and through that blood, we have an advocate.
Amen.
And that's why we have to know the correct way to do.
Yeah.
The correct way to be. Okay?
Amen.
Having said all that.
Amen.
My interest is, and I'm saying this because this is going to get deep in the days to come. So I want to make sure that we, sure. Now I'm gonna say the song lyrics. Be very sure.
Be very sure
that your anchor
that
holds.
Anchor hold.
It grips.
That's solid rock.
Solid rock.
Amen.
I just want you to know that was the lyrics. Amen.
I'm ready.
So, all right, go, Pastor Joyce. Ain't nobody playing. Let's go, sister.
Come on, then.
Amen. Absolutely. That, you got to be the one first one to talk. Come on. Did she freeze? No, she ain't froze.
She's not freezing. She's
maybe
she's
just
out.
Saying amen. Were you just saying amen?
Who, me?
You.
You.
She was
I did say amen. You didn't hear me?
We ain't talking right now.
We thought you were saying you're ready to tell us to answer the question.
What I was saying, is when she said, be very sure and grip that you hold that solid right, I was saying I'm ready to hear what she got to say.
But she had asked a question.
I didn't hear the question. What was the question?
Okay.
Now that you've been saved.
The question was about your week and your meditative state on what we have discussed, and that we wanted to make sure that we understood where we were. So that was the first thing. So, Pastor Felicia, you go.
Okay. My meditation for this week concerning last week, the biggest thing is about the heart. You said a lot, but my focus was on the heart, making sure that my heart is right and that, you know, what is your motive behind what you're doing, you know? So that was a lot of what I focused on. The other thing I focused on, was your sowing needs to be more than your tithes.
Okay.
And those were like the two things I kind of was meditating on for this week.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So let me ask you this. Did you go back and listen?
Last week.
Huh?
Last week I wasn't with y'all.
Okay.
That was the week before.
And
yeah,
the
we
week
didn't have
before, remember the week before I got on really late, so I didn't really catch, you know.
Yeah,
all
but
I also
told you to look at the video.
Right.
The what?
The video.
I told you look at the video.
No, I didn't look at it. I'm going to tell the truth. I didn't.
Okay. So, did anybody go back over the video?
Well, of course I did. Yes, I would like to say that based on the message, because I wasn't sure if you were talking about at Apostle Bridges.
No.
Okay, so my answer can be said.
Now, you know that when you have Google Podcasts, do y'all have Google Podcasts? Because you can go to Google Podcasts and the message is there. All you have to do is Google Podcast Apostle Jan Wilson and the last message is going to be there. Okay? But we have to make sure that we go back and listen. And, you know, like I was talking to Jana yesterday. I said, Jana, you need to go and listen. Okay? Go back and listen. That's what I'm saying. When you hear something, don't just leave it there. Go back and listen. Take the time to study and listen to what is being said.
Amen.
Okay? Because I had to go back and listen two or three times because you don't pick up everything in the first session.
Right.
You don't pick it all up. So you have to go back and listen. Okay? That is, we have to start being better about going back and listening.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, what else did you get, Elder?
A couple of things. It made me focus more on seeing how the Spirit operates, you know, and even on the aspect of sowing, how, you know, you have to step out, you know, with your sowing, you know, because it's important, you know, of what you were speaking about, how it is important for your sowing. And, you know, it just made me think on this week, you know, even for myself, stepping out more, you know, on the different things and, you know, coming in alignment of what God is showing us, because, you know, like you were saying, unless we do it, you know, the proper way and aligned ourselves with it, then we won't be blessed. So it's making me look at it more spiritually, you know, a more spiritual insight of it, of how the kingdom operates, you know, and then putting myself in that place where, you know, I'm not going to be slowful on certain things, but moving more powerful in those places that I need to step up in.
Amen.
Because it's That's like, you cool. know, this is really an aha moment. Okay. Because there's one thing that I see people saying that is Christian people is I don't understand why God is not helping me and I'm giving my tithes and I'm giving my offerings and I'm doing these different things, yet I'm having so much problem. And when you hear that, it makes people think, you know, it's kind of like, well, what do you say to that? You know, like they have, you know, when you go to the funeral, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And now God ain't said none of that, you know? And it's all these things that are just being in there that's being said that's not necessarily true. Like, how many of y'all seen, like, the movie with Jesus and he be on the boat, right? I'll just give you a thought. Jesus on the boat. And it's about four people on the boat, right, that they show you? Mm-hmm. How come you never see 12 disciples on the boat?
Right.
Because they want to minimize you psychically. You're not thinking that, wait a minute. And you never see Jesus on a ship. You see him in a canoe.
Right. A little boat, yeah.
Right. But then the Bible says the 12 was always with him.
With him, right.
So were they at the top of the canoe pole looking out? Where were they? Right? And I'm just saying, these are the kinds of things that are given to us. And we take it in, we don't even think about it. We like, oh, right. Okay. But the enemy uses visuals. He uses hearing. Right. He uses whatever he can use to minimize the kingdom within you.
That's true.
So that you do not recognize or optimize on the power of God that is within you, the blood of Jesus that is here for you. He does everything he can to minimize that. Just because they're making movies about Jesus, I'm not impressed. Because are you born again, or are you making money on the thought of the history of Jesus Christ? Where are you at? Okay. All of a sudden, you know, singing Christian songs is popular, so I'm going that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do these different things because money, I'm following the money. So everybody's caught up in, I'm going to do the Christian thing, but you ain't Christian.
Right.
You're not confessing anything. Right. And then Christians buy the music. God says we're supposed to make a distinction between what is of him
holy and what is not holy. Of him.
And we need to start living a life.
That's
now,
right.
I'm not saying we're not. But we must live a life and have a standard that is a cut above. What's the cut? The cut is the blood. You know how you get a paper cut? Man, the most painful thing you could get is that paper cut, right?
That's true.
That's Jesus reminding Amen. You.
That's right.
Of him. Amen? But now, I want us to look at the fact that here we are. Let's go to, because, you know, I'm going to give y'all the word because, you know how Christians are.
Hardly.
Oh my gosh. You know how Christians be. So you have to be like, they ain't said nothing about, they didn't say nothing about the word. Oh my gosh. God is good. He really is. So I was looking at Deuteronomy chapter, it was Numbers. I hope it's still up here. It was Numbers 28. Yeah, I'm right here with it, aren't I? Okay. So Numbers 28 to Numbers 30. I want to look at that. Okay. Because I'm echoing. Why am I echoing? Hold on. One second. Let me check this and see. Why am I echoing? Oh, there's the echo. All right, I got it. All right, so Numbers 28, starting at verse 1, okay? It says, the Lord said to Moses, give this command to the Israelites. Be sure to bring me offerings at the right times. Now, somebody write that down, because that's important when he says at the right time, the appointed time. We are in a season right now of giving, right? And the president that we use is if the first loaf is the loaf, is it loaf? The first part is holy. That's a principle, right? Then the whole thing is holy. When you give at the right time, all of your time is holy. All of your time. This is why we do these things. This is not about, you know, religion or anything like that. We're doing what the word says to do. If you take the word, which is Jesus, and you take it to the New Testament, he says, I am the word. That's what Jesus is. He's the living first five books of the Bible. Because that's all that existed at the time, was the first five books of the Bible. He says, I come in the volume or the whole context of the book. Why? It was written about me. So everything that we look at in the Old Testament prophesies or points us to the spiritual side of God. It points us to the future. It points us to where the Holy Spirit moves us, you know, but we can't cut off a part of our, it's like cutting off your arm. If you cut off your arm, if you just choose to cut your arm off, right, then you can't use it. If you cut off the book of Genesis, you can't use it. If you cut off Exodus, you can't use it. You can't cut off certain parts of the book so it's convenient. That's not what it's about. No, it's not going to be always convenient. No, it's not going to be comfortable. No, nobody wants to face when they do wrong. Nobody wants to do that. We don't want to do that. We like for God to think that everything's great. We think because God don't do nothing to us, everything's going along. But you're breaking the law.
Right.
You're breaking rules.
Amen.
And the rules are universal. And when Jesus died, guess what? The rules died with him and came alive as spiritual rules. They were resurrected spiritually. And we think, well, you know, they teach us, oh, you know, forget about the law. You don't have to deal with that. Forget about it. And your family is a train wreck. Half of your relatives are on crack. You know, other half is prostitutes. The other half is dealing with same sex. You know, come on. Let's get for real in this thing. When God said, I'm going to save your whole family, that's my promise.
That's his promise.
And see, he had to pull somebody out, right? Let me see. Hold on. Let me give y'all this scripture. Because, you know, let me see. Hold on. Let's see. Here it is. He took a solitary. Is it solitary? Let me show y'all. Solitary people. Let's see. Yep, here goes. 68 and 6. See, God said if the solitary, let's take it and put it in a way that we can see it good. Okay. Psalm 68:6 says, God places lonely people in families. He leads prisoners out of prison into productive lives, but the rebellious people must live in an unproductive land. Okay? So what I got it as, you know, because I was a, what you call, King James baby. So I know the scriptures and I'm hearing God speak to me. He speaks to me in the King James. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what I knew, that's what I grew up on. Okay. So in Psalm 68:6, he says, God sets the solitary in families. So you're not isolated. God does it. God does it. He brings out those which are bound with chains, right? Whether it's drugs or prostitution. You know, some stuff, you just got a lying demon. You know what I mean? You just got a misrepresentation demon, okay? You just got a can't get to church on time demon. Come on, okay? But he brings those out which are bound. Any of that is bondage. Because right. Let me tell you something. If you was in Africa, you'll walk 10 miles.
Okay.
And you'll get there on time, walking 10 miles with no shoes on across the dirt. Because the value is there. That's not a conversation, but that's how it is, right? So he bringeth out those which are in chains or in bondage. But the rebellious live in a dry land. You know what that means? There's no revelation. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we deal with when we're dealing with families. You know, some parts of those families are isolated from us. Why? Because they're in rebellion. But God acknowledges families. He wants families.
That's right.
To be together. He wants families to be together. If families are not together, it ain't because of God.
Right.
It's not on God that the families are not together.
That's true.
So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because when we have situations that cause us to be isolated within our own family dynamic. And when that happens, it makes it difficult for us to talk to our family members. But that's not God. That's the enemy. There's a law that has been broken. Anytime there's uncomfort with your family member.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's uncomfort with your family member. Anytime there's uncomfort with your family member, a law has been broken. You who are spiritual, what does it say about you who are spiritual? Okay.
Let me show you. Back.
You who are spiritual.
I'm supposed to redeem.
What does it say? You see that right there? You who are spiritual, restore.
That's what I just said. You restore them back.
Amen. You who are spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Restore.
Are the ones that are responsible.
Come
this
on.
Is what if you spiritual, you responsible.
Come on.
Because they don't know God like you know God.
No. Come on, Jan.
And guess who's holding you responsible? God. How is he holding you responsible? Here we go. To whom much?
It's given.
It's given.
Uh-huh.
Much is required. Okay? So you don't look to somebody else. You look to God to help you.
Yeah.
And the first thing you have to do, I don't know why I'm out here. I'm delaying preachers. I don't know who am I talking to. But
let's go ahead.
The first thing you have to do. You who are spiritual, you have to repent.
Come on.
Because ain't no argument, ain't no discord going on with one person. Discord is a two-way street.
And
you have to repent to God for what your role, our role, is. Whether it was not paying attention, you know, like for me, my situation, because I'm speaking to my situation right now. My situation was like, I just was like, forget about it. Just God gonna take care of it. You know, I know better. God ain't taking care of it. He's like, I put this situation in for you to deal with it, you know. And you have to think about it from that perspective. You can't just leave stuff out there and be like, God gonna take care of it in the name of Jesus. No, the power has been given to you to take care of it. Okay? This is not about you letting somebody else do it. Like, are we going to leave that to Jesus? Mm-mm. First, if you repent, right? What do you think happens when you repent? God turns around and pays attention to your prayers.
Right.
That's right.
God doesn't pay attention to the prayers of a person who is in judgment of another person. Let me write that down.
Better say that.
Somebody get me something. He doesn't pay attention to that. You'd be like, well, I prayed. You ain't praying because you don't have the courage to go to the person and tell them you apologize for your behavior. Okay? Now, I sit in judgment against somebody. Which I do sometimes, you know, in this particular situation I'm dealing with in my family. And I have to go to God. And yep. I have to ask God to forgive me. Because I want my prayers to be heard.
Right.
Not only do I want my prayers to be heard, but I want my seed sowing to be acknowledged.
Come on.
I want my offerings to be effective.
My Lord.
And do what needs to be done.
Thank
you. I want my faith to grow. I want my health to improve.
Yes.
I want my relationship with God to be pure.
Come on.
And all of that starts right there with being a forgiving person.
Come on.
Because if you can't forgive your brother, according to the scriptures, God said, look, I can't forgive you. And right. That's a law. Listen, this is a law. Right. This is a principle. This is not, well, you know, this is a principle. And came from where? The Old Testament. So, where was I at, y'all? Because y'all been messing with me. I don't know why y'all messing with me, but you need to stop. Okay. So it says, let's look at verse 2. Give this command to the Israelites. Uh-huh. Now, people don't realize, and I'm saying this to the Christian people of the world, you are considered to be a part of Israel mm-hmm. in a spiritual sense. Yeah. You don't need to be trying to get a passport that says, I'm an Israelite.
Right, right.
Okay? We are part of spiritual Israel, but mm-hmm. we are not to replace Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, they have this thing called replacement theology out here that says we replace Israel. Dream on. We're not replacing Israel. No. We are part of a spiritual part of Israel.
Wow. Amen.
We came in by the Spirit of Christ. Okay? That's
so true.
The proof. We came in by the Spirit of Christ. That's what causes us to be spiritual Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
So, where it says, be sure to bring me offerings at the right time. Right?
Amen.
They are my food.
Mm-hmm.
They are offerings by fire, a soothing aroma. These are the offerings by fire that you must bring to the Lord every
yeah.
day. You must bring as a daily burnt offering. And then it says what you need to bring, right? Offer
right.
one in the morning and the other at dusk or mm-hmm. in the evening, right? Two times a day you should be right. praying.
Yep.
Two times a day, you pray. Two times a day, you create your offering. And your offering is not just lip service. I don't care if you give it 10 cents. You make sure you call it 10 cent offering. Don't just say, well, I gave 10 cents. Everything that you give to God, you name it.
Uh-huh.
You write it down and you keep a record of it. Why? Because when the enemy comes against you like a flood, the Lord can lift up a standard against him through the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you have documentation to prove that you're doing the right thing to the best of your ability. Number 5, with each of them, also bring grain, right? What is that? That's your communion, cups of flour mixed with a quart of oil. So your morning and evening, you should have communion. You have to see this. This is the daily burnt offering, which was established on Mount Sinai. This offering is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord, and also bring wine, communion. Right? Whatever amount of wine. Don't drink too much wine, y'all. Pour it out to the Lord in the holy place. Offer the lamb at dusk along with the same grain offering and wine offering as you brought in the morning. This is an offering soothing aroma to the Lord. Amen. Listen to what the Lord is saying to us, spiritual Israel. on the day of worship, offer 2 1-year-old lambs that have defects. What is the day of offering? The day of offering is whatever day you get together with your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
On the day of worship, offer, you know, it says what you're supposed to offer. Ain't nobody got 16 cups of flour to give, right? Thank God it's down to a cracker and some wine, right? You have the olive oil. And the reason you have the olive oil, you can use that olive oil. You can anoint. And, I mean, really, it seems it might, because you're not doing it, I'm not doing it on regular or whatever, it might seem ritualistic or something like that. But once you get into the habit of doing those things, it becomes like second nature. Okay. The only time it's hard is because we have to push past our mental process to get those things done. You have to get your mind and your heart in agreement. And when you do that, everything becomes at peace. But at first, it's a bit of a challenge to do those things. In the midst of doing these things, you're asking God for forgiveness for whatever you may have done. Especially when you're dealing with your family members, you want to get those things taken care of, get them up under the blood of Christ. Okay? These are the things that the kingdom, we do in the kingdom. These steps that we're taking, these are the things that we do in the kingdom, which makes us and causes us to be distinctive and different from the world. Okay? We're not being rambunctious. We're not out here trying to party. No, we're getting up under the blood. We're getting up under the covenant of God by doing what God wants us to do. Oh, I missed a day. Oh. You know, what do you think? You're going to go to hell because you missed a day? No. Get it in your mind. Don't look at it like you being in a sinful state. That's not God's way. Somebody say something, okay? Y'all hear me, right?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am, we are.
That's not his way, okay? But you know what? I think, the Lord is telling me to go to the King James, because I got some King James children in the room. I'm not the only King James baby, okay? So let's look at it this way.
No, you are not, Apostle.
Amen. So we looked at the Sabbath offerings. What is the Sabbath offering? Like I said, that's the offering that you see. We come to God and we give him later, okay? No, you have to give to God beforehand. You understand?
Amen.
Say the first of the month came for me on yesterday. Bishop was trying to get me to come outside and help him. I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to get these done. You know what I'm saying? I got to get these tithes. I got to get these offerings in. I got to get my festival offerings in, because I'm in this season. I got to get all my offerings in. He just going to have to stand on the ladder till I get there. Amen. It's not cruelty. He stand on the ladder. And I know he's not on the ladder, y'all. But he have to wait. It's more important for me to get those offerings in, to get those tithes in, hello, to get those festival offerings in, than anything else that was going on in my house. Prioritize God. Why? Because he prioritized you. He is the priority. What he's trying to do for our lives is priority. I'm going to give my offerings. I'm going to do it. Okay, scripture stuff. Yeah. I'm going to give my offerings. I'm going to give all that I need to give, right? So when something adverse comes to me, which it does not come to me, why? Because my life is holy. I'm protected on all sides. I'm like Fort Dog on Knox. I got angels on the front, back, side, because I get my offerings in. I pay attention to the festivals. I get it done, and I get it done on time. It's in my spirit to do it on time. And I don't wait and be like, oh, you know what? I forgot. I don't forget that. You know why? Because the Bible said, let us not forget or let things slip. Did anybody read that in the scripture?
Amen.
Yeah, let stuff slip.
Yes.
Because as soon as you let it slip, you forget, you see, the devil wants you to think it's okay to let it slip. The devil wants you to think it's okay to let it pass. You know, just give it a moment. Mm-mm, I'm not giving nothing a moment, because I remember when. I was in a different place in my life. And I remember when I was down to the last couple of dollars. And I can remember when I only had one egg in my refrigerator. Do you know I almost have to lift my foot now to put food in the refrigerator?
All right.
Trying to stuff it in there.
Okay.
And people right. are bringing me food and stuff. And I got two refrigerators. Hello? And I'm looking like, what? You know, I'm almost, I need another refrigerator? What is going on here? Right. See, I remember those days. And I never want to be there again.
All right.
I never want that to happen to me again. And so God is like, this is why these things have happened. So if somebody says, well, I don't understand why God is allowing this to happen or that to happen, it's because you haven't realized the first rules of God or the kingdom. We're not in the church. We are living by the kingdom. And this is what God was teaching the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
How to live the way of the kingdom. Why do God need a burnt offering? Hello? Why does God need an offering from us to reach up to heaven? Why does he need an offering? He's trying to establish his government and his glory here on earth. And he needs representation. And we're supposed to be representation.
Right.
And so that we don't stink in his nostrils, he sent Jesus Christ, and we need to give offerings. Hello?
Amen.
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 So we have to, you have to look at that. You know, God loves his people, but if you smelling like sin, he ain't got time for you.
No.
It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that he looks at us or through, you know, looks to us.
Yes.
And you have to know that. And don't take it personal, like we're sinning, wretch. No, don't get into that.
Right.
Get yourself a penny and an envelope and go to town.
Right.
I'll get you some communion.
Yeah.
He didn't call you to be a minister. He didn't call you to be a pastor. He didn't call you to be a leader without educating you in the things that are going to come against you.
That's right.
And then, you know, when we was coming up in church, everybody was struggling.
That's
and all
true.
They talked about was the hard times they was having. I'm like, and so when I get to be on my own, I'm like, why were we always talking about a struggle? Okay. I don't need to be dealing with a God where I got a struggle all the time. Sorry. That's not my idea of a good time. Now, some people think that, you know, you got to struggle like Jesus struggled. Really? I'm not doing Jesus' job.
Amen.
Jesus paid the price for me to be free and live a good life. Amen. So I don't like them testimonies. I don't like them songs where they always talking about how it was, you know, help me, Jesus. No. Get in that Bible. You won't need so much help.
That's true.
Okay, so the monthly offerings. All right, now we talking about monthly offerings. You know how they say, tell your neighbor she not making this up.
She not making this up, neighbors.
And it says, in the beginning of your month, you shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord. And then it tells you what you need to do, right?
Right.
And it's basically the same thing, right? That at the beginning of the month. What does that mean? That's when we have what they call the new moon. That's why you pay attention to the calendar so that you know when there's a new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you're at the beginning of it. You give your offerings at the beginning. And like I've always said, it is not up to me to tell you what is the monetary requirement for your life.
Amen.
We just talk about the procedure. We don't tell you nothing about what you should do. That's not our concern. That's between you and the Lord.
Amen.
Because God will say to you, where are you going with that 25 cent? I'll let you get away with that for about 5 years. God will talk, okay? That 25 cent ain't working no more. Oh, and that's when you know. See, you get indicators like, wait a minute, this ain't, I need to go higher. I need to do more. I need to be better. But put forgiveness in front of your offering.
Right.
That's right.
Put forgiveness in front of your tithes. Put forgiveness in front of your sowing. You got so much to do. It's like, put forgiveness in front of it. Transfer it into the kingdom by the words that you speak. Go through the, you know, get your communion. All these different things. It seems like a lot to do, but it really isn't when you start doing it. It becomes so easy. Then he talks about there's a Passover offering. All this in the same scripture. He talks about the Passover, right? On the 14th day of the month, he talks about what needs to be done during Passover. In that season of Passover, this is where Jesus was at. This is where we see Jesus is came about on the 14th day in the New Testament, right? And they did the same things. They examined him like they would examine a lamb. You know, they did all of the different things that they would do. And that's why Jesus and Passover are the same, okay? And everything that you see that's considered a feast is for a reason. And that we will celebrate the feast in the new kingdom of God. We will celebrate the feast with him. There's a part in a Passover where they call it the Last Supper, which is not the Last Supper. It is the Passover. Okay. Jesus was doing the Passover and he said at the Passover, I'm going to celebrate this with you in the new kingdom. He said that. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is the last time I'm going to do this, but then we're going to do it again in the new kingdom.
That's what he said. That's you know? Right.
So you have to know that, this is what's going on. This is why when we're in the seasons, it's just like when they do Passover, they're doing it every year to show you what happened, to teach a new generation what happened. And it's something that you go over from year to year so that it gets down in your spirit. That's what we do for each one of these festivals. We go back over them. Okay. So this next one is the Feast of Weeks. And it talks about also in the day of first fruits. It talks about, now somebody help me right here, because I'm thinking, right? The Feast of Weeks, what's the other name for that?
Pentecost.
Pentecost. This is the season of Pentecost right here, right? So also in the day of first fruits, when you bring a new meat offering unto the Lord after your weeks. Now, the weeks that it's talking about is the counting of the Omer, because it's 49 days from Passover until Pentecost. Pentecost is the 50th day. So there is a yearly jubilee that takes place. There is a yearly jubilee that takes place. They don't talk about the yearly jubilee, but there is a jubilee every year at Pentecost. Okay. And you give an offering at Pentecost. Amen. They got a rule that, you know, you got like 30 days or whatever to do it because people are in different parts of the world, different things like that, you know. So God's not like, okay, you didn't get it in within the first day, so you are condemned. No. You know, there's circumstances that's different than they were 2,000 years ago. Okay? So, Feast of Trumpets. What is that one? Give me the other name.
Rosh Hashanah, okay. The head of the year.
Okay, so we just had Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So, we're in a new God calendar year. We are in a new year on God's calendar. Right. And we give offerings. You give your offering just the same way. So, for example, if you were doing your daily offerings and you're doing your monthly offerings, then you will also do this one, the Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year. That's another offering that you would do. This offering has not been participated in by the body of Christ. OK, this is one of the offerings and one of the celebrations because it's a feast. That Jesus will participate with us in when he returns. Okay? That's why it's important to pay attention to these different things, because it's going to be so chaotic when Jesus comes back. Just like right now, every time there's an incident in the world, people start talking about Jesus' return.
Right.
Okay? So when Jesus does return, you're going to have so much chaos going on, because the Bible says that the Lord will come back with his 10,000 of his saints, right, to execute judgment. He's not talking about he's going to cut heads off. No, he's going to sit on the throne and he's going to govern.
Right.
And he's going to govern with righteous people that know about these feast days. Understand that the kingdom of God exists on earth. What we're dealing with now is a spiritual government that we're establishing the kingdom of God on earth. That's our job. We're not just church folks to be diving off of pews and dancing on tables and all of that carrying on. We're here to establish God's government upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to be, you know, just collecting offerings on revivals and all these carryings on, you know. What good is that? If
That's
the
right.
next day, you the same. Hello?
Good.
You the same the next day.
Right.
So what was the point of spending 7 days not getting no sleep? Had a revival. If on the eighth day you just same way you was,
really?
See, that's just you just spinning your wheels. You know, we just spinning our wheels doing that. And like I said, thank God we walked upon that. We know, we did that. We know how to do 7 days of prayer. We know how to go 30 days of, you know, we know what to do. We know the deal. Okay. But that's not the most excellent thing for us as kingdom people. As kingdom people, we're here to establish his government, and we are here to somebody help me. Where's Shane at? Shane here, help Shane. Establish. You're here? Okay. To establish his government. What is his government? His glory.
That's right.
His glory.
Mm-hmm.
To establish his glory in the earth.
Yeah, as it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven. Amen, Pastor. And so when the top of the year just happened a couple of days ago, those offerings are due in within that 30-day span of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And then we have the Day of Atonement, and we there too. We had the Day of Atonement, I believe, right? We're in these seasons right now. And there are offerings that need to be, not just you don't just give the offering, but you say what the offering is. Does that make sense? Please tell me that makes sense. We're not just saying give offerings. Say what it is. Call it what it's supposed to be at the appropriate time. Let me go back here and make sure that we see this in the first sentence. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say unto them, my offerings and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall you observe, offer unto me in their due season. Does anybody see that? Due season.
Amen.
You know, when we look at it in, like we were looking at in God's word translation, it says that, where is it at? Same thing. These are the offerings by fire that you must bring to the Lord every day. You must bring as a daily burnt offering. No, it missed it. Because it's supposed to say, it said right here. Give this command to the Israelites. Be sure to bring me my offerings at the right times. At the right times. Not just anytime, right? But at the right times.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Let me go back to King James. So we back on the King James. Okay. So Feast of Tabernacles. Okay. You are, let me tell you this right now. Do what you want with it. You are the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
You are where the Holy Spirit dwells.
Right.
Okay, this is where the Holy Spirit dwells.
Amen.
We're supposed to come together as holy tabernacles. Like he says, you know, you have a convocation. That's what the convocation, Church of God Christ, always had a holy convocation.
Yeah.
But the convocation was that we're supposed to come together as his tabernacles. Okay? Why? Because we are priestly on top of being kingly.
Right.
We are priestly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know how these things work. You're not just king, but you're king and a priest. Because you have a responsibility, and I say you, we, have a responsibility to connect people, what? To the glory. To God.
Mm-hmm.
We have that responsibility.
Yes.
But we're not taught those things. We're just doing church. I just feel his presence, and you fall out. And get up and go to the supermarket. It's more to it than that.
Amen.
If it wasn't so, it wouldn't be in the scriptures.
Amen.
So there's a Feast of Tabernacles. I don't think we're there yet. Are we there yet? Because we should be up on it. If we're not there, we close.
Not yet. We have Yom Kippur is the 4th and the 5th of October, so we're not at the booths yet.
That's Feast of Tabernacles is also called Feast of Booths, is what they're saying.
And it's okay. Also Apostle on the 15th of October. Right, son?
What's on the 15th?
Yeah.
What's on the 15th?
Uh-huh.
What? Huh? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Which one's on the 15th of October?
I'm trying to verify.
Oh, okay.
The Cot Festival of Booths.
Feast of Booths?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Sukkot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, Sukkot is...
I know I said it wrong, but...
No, it's not that you said it wrong. The point is you said it. Hallelujah. That's what counts. Amen. So, we coming up on the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen.
Feast of Booths, Sukkot, whatever you want to say. We coming up on that one. Amen. Woo! Jesus. Okay. So... Oh my gosh. All right. So we got the Feast of Tabernacles. That's all right. That's all right. We got the Feast of Tabernacles coming up. And it's not like we got the Feast of Tabernacles coming up. Think about what I'm saying here. Okay? Saying that whatever we're doing, keep it in mind, we're not just doing it for the sake of doing it. We want our life to be improved and always improved. We want our loved ones taken care of. We want to make sure we repent before God for the things that we did. We want to make sure we say those things unto the Lord with an honest heart. We want to make sure that if we do have petitions and different things we're talking to God about, we're in the right frame of mind for those things.
Amen.
And we're not doing it for work's sake. This is not a work. Amen. We have a lot of stuff out here. You know, everybody right now, including me, we should have a project. Somebody should be our project.
All right.
Amen. We should have a project. And so think about that because you need a project. I need a project.
Amen.
Everybody
Amen.
Need a project. Like Oprah was giving out cars. We need a project. And that's a person. That person that rubs you the wrong way, elder. Whoo! Right?
That's right.
There's a project. Whatever it is. You know, one of my kids, like I said, they rubbing me the wrong way.
All right.
My project. So anyway, we got the Feast of Tabernacles that are coming up, but we also have the ones that we're in. Okay. That if you give when, if and when, like today should have been a Sabbath offering, that you call it a Sabbath offering, that you have your Feast of Tabernacles offering, that you have your Day of Atonement offering, whatever the word is, what the proper word is right now. But those offerings, you have 30 days to get those in. Okay? But like I always tell people, start now for your offering for next year. Put an envelope aside and just put money in it. And so when it's time, you're able to give God a big offering. And you ain't stressing about it.
Amen.
When these feast days come up, have a folder or something or a shoe box and say, this is the offering for this feast coming up. This feast is not coming up for a year. These offerings are not coming back up for a year. This one, the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, all these Jewish people find their way into the temple one time a year. They done missed every other offering time, right? They done missed everything else. But guess what? This one right here, they are trained. I need to get into the Feast of Booths because they know that's the last offering time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So they make it their business to get into the tabernacle. They find us. What do they call them? What do they call them? They got a different name. They find a way.
Synagogue.
They get to the synagogue. They look the synagogues up in the phone book, just like we used to look up the church. Amen. Okay?
All right.
So we're almost done. I think we go to a couple of things in 30. Numbers 30. Now look at this. This one is talking about the vows, right? I think it only goes up to verse 6, which Sean and Shane always talk about this. But your tithing is a vow, too. But we're not talking about that right now. It says, and the Lord spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is a thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man vow a vow or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall, according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. All that proceedeth out of his mouth. So you have to be careful about your prayers. Hello. Be careful about your confessions, because you held accountable by God. Mm-hmm. Unless you, Lord, forgive me for every idle word, every careless act. You know what I mean? Those kinds of things. If that's what you need to say. Because you didn't keep your word. You didn't keep your promise. On something that we said. Amen? You didn't pay the bill on time. Hello, I felt that. You didn't pay the bill on time. Lord, forgive me. Help me to get better at paying the bill on time. Come on.
Amen.
Not hearing nothing right now, but it's okay. You know, that was me. I'm always Amen. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to pay it. But I'm going to pay it. I wait to that last possible second. That's another $10 that I didn't have to pay.
Come on, that's
I would have paid it on time.
That's right. Okay?
So we have to think about the things that we're doing, bills that we're making, contracts that we get involved in. You're responsible. You made a vow when you do those things.
Amen.
You're vowing to pay that bill. You're vowing to do that. These people walk away from the bill. They be like, you know what? I'm just going to walk away. And, you know, my credit going to be messed up, but that's okay. And then they live in that way. They living under a curse. See, that's a curse.
All right.
That people are living under because they lack education. Amen. And this is not a black thing or white thing. This is what people do. Because a lot more of them, you know, black or white, they do that thing with bankruptcy and, you know, all those different things. That's you circumventing your responsibility when you do those things. Okay, I'm not having that conversation, but I'm just saying, God ain't helping you to violate the law or your oath. He's not helping you do that.
All right. Amen.
So if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows will stand. See, as a principle that's on the books, it's like, you know, I can say stuff, but, you know, my husband can disallow my vow. That's a principle.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
On his daughters. You know, they could say, you know, they're going to do us and us, and he can disallow it. And then guess what? God honors that. Because mm-hmm. that's the way. That's why we have to learn about the laws of God. Those are the things that cause us, you know, to be in poverty. Amen. By not knowing certain things. Are you hearing me?
Uh-huh.
Are you with me?
Amen.
There was something in right here. It was in Deuteronomy 27. I'm almost finished, y'all. It's in Deuteronomy 27. Look at this right here. Where it says, whoever has carved a metal statue, anything disgusting to the Lord that was made by a craftsman and sets it up in a secret will be cursed, right? But this is the point right here. The other people will say amen.
Uh-huh.
See, all of these right here, if you can see my cursor, are agreements to different things that they agree to.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't adhere to them. When you say amen, you have agreed.
Right.
Right.
And you are vowing a vow. You are attaching yourself to those things. That's why I'm glad for the mass now.
Right.
Amen. In church. Because can't nobody see me. While I'm fussing and be like, I'm not going with that. If I need to keep my eyes straight, right? You don't need to agree with everything. Amen. Be clear about what you know.
Yes.
And not so quick to say amen because you caught up in something. And guess what happens? When you get caught up in it, guess what the devil does? He takes it. Amen. He takes it and he will harass you with it until it gets to court. See, he can harass you on the vows that you make.
Uh-huh.
See, when you don't understand the system, or you don't know that you can take it to God in prayer, you can take it to God in a court situation.
Right.
And it's covered by the blood. But until you know that, until you know the rules, you're going to be harassed for making that vow.
Right.
That's why bill collectors call you. They're harassing you.
Amen.
Because you made a vow. And you haven't gone to court. And told God, look, forgive me. First of all, let's start there. Right. Lord, forgive me and get this thing fixed.
Right.
There's nothing impossible to the Lord. There's nothing Amen. Impossible when you go according to his ways and the way That's that he's true. Telling us to go.
Right.
And so just keep that in mind. Keep those things in mind as you're going forward and the things that we're learning and the things that we're doing. This is kingdom.
Amen.
And that's the word right there. This is kingdom.
Right.
This is what it's all about. And you have to start living those that way. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm good. I hope everybody is good. I'm saying everything. I believe I'm saying it in love because I really mean it. Right. In love. I want all of us, that includes myself, all of the areas where I'm challenged, I'm asking God to help me to be better.
Amen. And
asking for forgiveness in all areas against anyone, you know, Amen. Nothing Amen. That I intended.
Yeah,
I didn't want any, you know, I'm not here to hurt people. I'm here to help. Sometimes the words seem hard, and they are, because some of those words are hard. That's just the way it is. It's they not meant bad. Personally, you know, or anything like that. But sometimes we lived hard in the world. And you have to be hard to get it across because it's kind of like you're dealing with a rock.
Okay.
Or a hard heart. Amen. So
Amen.
I'm turning this back over to, I can't see who's moderating, but let me see who's the moderator. Or who's, I made sure the moderator's here, I should say. Turn it back over to the moderator. Amen. God
All
bless
right.
you. Love
Amen.
You. And whatever you got, come on with it. And you know, another thing I want to make sure that when you guys are reading these books, everybody at Logos Fellowship knows that you're supposed to turn in papers. so that we know that what you read, you understood. Okay? And it's not, you ain't on schedule or nothing. We do keep your files, but if you're nothing in the file but dust, that's on you. Amen.
Yes, because I found some old papers that I had wrote that I hadn't turned in.
Amen. Shane?
No, it's actually Shane. I just wanted to clarify. So the Passover feast is the one where you, and I'm going to stop the recording. Okay. Is it okay to stop the recording, Apostle?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. No, don't stop it until you say what you're clarifying.
Oh, okay. So the Passover feast is the one where you have 30 days to get that done.
Okay.
And then the Pentecost, you got to do it Pentecost. And then the Feast of Booths, that's where, I believe I'm saying this correctly, that everybody is gathered and they who haven't gotten them in can get them in at that time. So that's correct. But it's like that 30-day window for Passover because of what's being done at that feast, you know, And we'll give more clarity to that, but the person is not available. who studies this more than I do? She asked me to say this, but she didn't give me any info. Anyway, so that's all I wanted to say. But I just want, and so that's my comment, man. Apostle, you just beat my head with this word today.
Turn the recording off.